situation and time of the Crusades, of highly ideological communities, I want to trace a little bit the transition from the time of the Crusades until, say, the time of the 16th or 17th century by looking at a couple of tshuvot, which we might regard as transitional, before getting on to the main topic of discussion for tonight, which is to review these long tshuvot of Rav Kook that we've studied two or three times in the past 25 or 30 years that are worth reviewing. But first, let's start with the first, with the tshuva that I have on the first page here of the Tumat HaDeshen. So that's talking about the middle of the 14th century. She'ela. Kol ha'averot shenemru bo ya'avo ve'al yehareg. Kegon b'sha'ar averot, v'al me'avod ha'zara v'gilui ha'ayot v'shfikat amim. Im yitratze echad leharek kedei shelo yavo uvo lemloch, eich lo inloch. Perfectly simple question, one that we've been discussing here at the table for the last two or three weeks. We will find that the Tumat HaDeshen's response to this is ambivalent. Let's see what he says.
Well, Eloch, and he comes to...
And he comes to ask you a question.
Oh.
You're a rabbi. You now... You're being... A lot of the Taz, which is, it's an exaggeration, of course, the Taz made the claim that all of the tshuvot of the Tumat HaDeshen, all of the questions and answers of the Tumat HaDeshen were fabricated. They were not referring to real life questions, but had rather been fabricated. That's certainly not true. Some of them clearly do refer to specific events and real life questions. And had they been fabricated, one would have to say that the Tumat HaDeshen was almost a prophet, because many of the issues that he takes up and decides became, 100 years later, issues of central importance for the Jewish community. But in any event, this is obviously a theoretical question rather than a practical one. Suppose somebody comes to a rabbi and asks him, what should I do under such and such a situation? What should the rabbi's response be?
Didn't you discuss this in the tape? I heard about the distinction being made whether it's in public or in private.
We spent the last 2 weeks discussing this.
It's like a rather straightforward question.
Well, but he's asking, he is asking this question, which we also discussed at length last 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago.
Week.
Namely, we discussed the issue of whether, in a situation where you're not obligated, according to the halacha, to sacrifice your life on these issues, but nevertheless you want to do so. Okay, and what we learn, we see exactly as the Tumat HaDeshen says at the beginning. He writes, "The high milk the talio beplug to the rabuta." This issue is under a dispute.
Who formulated the Ahamad line?
What?
Who formulated it? From the Mishnah or the Gemara?
No, we saw it in the Gemara as mentioning something that was taken at a vote at Aliyah but not so. Right? This was obviously a decision that was taken at the highest levels during times of terrible persecution. How to sort of draw a balancing line between surrender on the one hand and unnecessary, or refusal to surrender on the one hand and unnecessary martyrdom on the other. Right? They didn't want people to simply just cave in and give up all of their Yiddishkeit under even the most serious of pressures, but on the other hand, they didn't want to have a massive loss of life. So that this was an issue which obviously at the time of discussion, if you remember, we mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago, was probably around the time of the Bar Kokhba revolt, before, during, or after, but on that general period, they came to this kind of a decision.
All right.
And what we saw 2 weeks ago was that the attitude of the Jews in the early Middle Ages, or however you characterize it, at the time of the Crusades, the attitude of the Jews was far more ideological than that required by the Gemara. The Jews who were living in Germany and France. So the Rambam, so Yivayali, the Tumat HaDeshen writes, the high milta talio beplukta de rabota. This issue is in fact one of dispute. Ha Rambam katab al kahai gavna, she'im yimso atzmo liharek, harei ze mitchayev l'nashar. Someone allows himself to be killed in order not to violate Shabbos, for example, he is guilty of a capital offense. There's no voluntarism can be associated with this. Uvahagobe Ashiri Perikamad Ktubot Hashem or Mchi Mistapek Va Ishari I Asur. Uvahashiri Avahagobe Ashiri Vashem or Yitzhak Val Ozarua Katab the Shari Veino Mitchaye Benafsha. Uvahsefer Mitzvot Katan, we saw this. Katab the Midat Chasidut Hu Liharek Velo Yavo. So we saw that there was this spectrum of opinion. We saw the Rambam and we saw the Smak of 3 weeks ago. Okay?
So it's Hasidus, it's not Messiah of Nasho.
The Rambam says that it's Messiah of Nasho, and at the other extreme, the Sefer Mitzvot Katan said that that is a sign of piety. So what, according to the Rambam, was a capital offense, according to the Smak, was a sign of extreme piety. And that shows, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, that there was a real ideological chasm between the point of view of the Jews of Spain, which in a sense reflected the classical halakhic tradition as we saw it in the Gemara, and the Jews in the Ashkenazi community, who were much more ideological. Okay. The Thomas Edeshin writes, he now applies his analytical skills, his halakhic decision-making skills to this problem, which he will then reject. Since this is a difference of opinion amongst the great authorities, Azrina Lakula, the Isur Basakanat Nafasho. Presumably, lakula means that you shouldn't martyr yourself. Right? That's presumably what the phrase lakula here means. That since this is an issue of dispute and it's pikuach and it's a sakanat nafashot, we always take the decision to save the life. Kedepasak talmud of a perek mafanin, the replukta damaroi, besafek nafashot lahakeh. Vachain pasak ashiru besakatuma replukta gorbuzam. Amnam, he says, nevertheless, yesh lo me'achacha, the le'inyan kiddush Hashem, as far as the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem is concerned, shelo hikpida Torah al ibud nefashot Yisrael, where when cases of kiddush Hashem, the Torah does not mind the sacrifice of Jewish lives. V'yamor v'sor atzmocha al kiddush Hashem, lo yalfina lo mishar sveka, the lepa hu kiddush Hashem. This principle of safek nefashot lahakel, he says, might not apply to the problem before us. And therefore, he says, v'nireh v'lafi ha'inyan v'sheroin anu kavanato morim la. The rabbi should therefore try to ascertain what the real intent of the person is who's asking him this question, and let him do what his soul really is telling him to do. A very ambivalent tshuva, a very unusual answer, but I think what it shows is the stress of this question. That is, had this issue been raised 200 years earlier in an Ashkenazi community, I think the answer would clearly have been like what the Sefer Mitzvos Katan said, namely that this is a midat chasidut. Had this question been raised any time in the previous 300 or 400 years in the Sephardic community, the answer would be clearly what the Rambam said, namely that it's strictly prohibited. Here we're beginning to see a transition within the Ashkenazi community itself from the highly ideological point of view which was taken during the time of the Crusades until to what happened in the tragedies of the 17th century, for example. And as I mentioned, there's this excellent article by Professor Katz. You have his book, right, on Halacha v'Kabbalah. I think it's in that collection of essays. I don't remember where it was published, but in one of his collections of essays, in which he clearly studies the difference in psychology between the Jewish communities as they existed during the massacres of the Crusades and as it existed during the massacres of the 1648 tragedy. He lived in Vienna in the 15th century, so he had experienced in his youth the terrible persecutions that had taken place in Vienna, in Neustadt, at the beginning of the 15th century.
So he had already the sage behind him.
Long before. So what I'm saying is that this is a transitional period. He's clearly ambivalent. He cannot come to a firm decision, and he says that this is... He seems to feel, as we're feeling, that there's a conflict here between the formal requirements of the halacha as interpreted by the Rambam and the ideological and spiritual motivations from within the Jewish community itself, as expressed by the Smach, but those ideological, that ideological component is waning. This period of high tension between the Jews and the Christians is beginning to, high ideological tension between the Jews and the Christians is beginning to wane and has disappeared almost completely by the 16th and the 17th century.
That tension didn't exist between the Jews and the Muslims. I mean, the
not in the same form. Not in the same form. I mean,
Is it never to be considered as being Avodah Zarah?
It's not so much an issue of Avodah Zarah. I think that there was a large dispute between who was the carrier of. Remember, the Christians made this claim that they were the true heirs of Israel, right? That with the advent of their false Mashiach, that somehow or other they inherited the mantle. So, and this was
the New Testament.
The New Testament they replaced the Old Testament, and they are now the heirs, and that they represent the true Judaism, right? So this was a highly ideological conflict, which the communities, these small Jewish communities in France and Germany, felt themselves very much a part of. The Quran did not claim to say that the Muslims are replacements for the Jews. So this didn't exist. It's amusing. We had Chaim over for Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, and I had mentioned my discomfort with this introduction by Fritz Baer that we saw 2 weeks ago, his introduction to this book, where he calls the entire Sephardic community as being unduly influenced by Islamic rationalism. Remember, I found that to be sort of a strange statement to be made by a so-called impartial historian. So he said that he was present when one of Baer's more famous books appeared on the highly ideological role of the Jewish community, and the late Professor Leibowitz came up to the stand, there was public discussion, and made one of his really terrific one-liners. He said, "Mi avot haknesia v'ad hazman shel Pius ha-12 yimach shemo." כל הנוצרים טוענים שהנצרות היא היהדות האמיתית. עד שבא פרופסור בר עם הספר הזה וטוען שהיהדות היא הנצרות האמיתית. I think that sums up my attitude also. But you know, he was pretty well known for his one-liners, Leibowitz.
He died recently.
Yes, he just died recently. All right.
Apart, you said about the Rebbe said about Katz's farm. There's no way. I mean, I have a couple of his farm, but there's no way to get it. I mean, I go over to Israel Bookstore. Can't he never has anything on hand.
No, he's got.
But can't you just order it?
From the publisher.
Some of them are out of print. But right. you can get the one on with the Jewish Gentile relations.
Oh,
that's still available there.
Yeah, but there's some other. Yeah. I'd like to get all his series because
he's absolutely terrific.
It's not around here. I mean,
okay. At any rate, let's move on a couple of centuries.
I find the source.
Let's move on to the Shvus Yaakov. So we're talking what now? The beginning of the 18th century, I imagine. Early 1700s. I don't remember the exact dates. All right. So this is in direct line. Irachat she'ela. Irachat shegazru aleihem gzeira lahavarat dat shemukoyavim laharog v'al yavor. Suppose there is a situation in which indeed the mitzvah of yehareg v'al yavor applies. U'miktzatan yecholim levroach. And some of the members of the community can manage to escape. Im mechuyavim levroach kedei lahatzil nafsham. Are you allowed to escape? Now again, one has the impression that had this question been posed to the leaders of the small communities at the time of the Crusades, the implication would be that certainly the righteous people would not try to separate themselves from the community and save their own individual lives, but would tend to want to martyr themselves with the community. I think that's pretty clear from what the feeling is. Let's see how the issue
was. Was the second law, the same question. This question came to the top, not in the Holocaust.
What question?
I mean, whether you can escape from the ghetto or before deportation, the camp, you know, should you escape or not? Or
why is there any doubt that you should do it?
Because, I mean, you shouldn't leave the other people. The other people are deported, you know, and you should be part of the community.
Maybe the rabbi,
perhaps the leaders who are necessary, but I don't think that anyone would have. I mean, I think what you're saying is true. Yeah. That people who manage to escape, that is, those people who manage to escape, have an enormous guilt feeling for having escaped. But at the time, you know, unless there was some communal planned revolt, that if there was some way of saving the community or salvaging it or fighting or something, then there may have been some in reason to stay. But to refuse to escape because you want to face death, which is not, strictly speaking, obligatory for Kiddush Hashem in this sense, he's posing a slightly more difficult problem. Namely, I mean, there is certainly no mitzvah to get yourself burned in Auschwitz. However, there is a mitzvah if you're being faced with the choice between idolatry and death to choose death. That's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And he's now saying, suppose you're faced with this situation where you can avoid that choice, if you were, but you may not be, the whole community may not be able to avoid that choice. But let's hear what he says, because you will see that his answer is quite different from what we would have anticipated 200 or 300 years earlier. Tshuva. Hinei l'chora nira pashut de'ein lahem levroach. At first blush, it would seem that a person should not try to escape. V'ra'aya b'rura l'zeh misugya d'shat p'sachim d'apnum gimel v'tosrod shaman bezal hoda k'yom ha'sham mara'u chananyo mishoel b'azariyo shemasu atzman l'tov k'vshan ha'esh נשאו קל וחומר בעצמם, ופרש הקונטרס, מה ראו שלא דרשו בחי בהם, ולא שימות בהם. וכשדה בפרהס יהבי, דלכו לי אלמה מחויב למסור עצמו, ומפרש בין אותם וכולי, ורי מפרש, מה ראו שלא בלכו? Why did not חנניה, מישאל, and עזריה attempt to flee? שהרי קודם המעשה היו יכולים לברוח, כמו שעשה דניאל. After all, דניאל managed to escape. כדיאמר בחלק, אם says in Sanhedrin, שלושה היו ביותו היצעד, כאן לשונו, וכן כתב הרמיין שם, הרי להד יד אפילו היו יכולים להימלט על נפשם, אין לברוח ומחויבים למסור נפשם על חידוש השם מקל וחומד את צבדאים. So therefore the fact that Hananya, Mishael ועזריה did not escape, but rather placed themselves in jeopardy, ואין ראיה לסתור מדניאל שברח, היינו כי המעשה סתימה ששלושה היו באותו עצר כביעית השם ואם כן מעט השם הזאת שיזל דניאל ויברח להימלט על נפשו. In other words, דניאל was under special orders to escape and continue the events for posterity.
He says Gimel, so that was Mishael, Azariah,
right, Hananiah. Right, right. And Daniel was not included in there.
Yeah, oh, I see.
So that therefore it must have been for that reason that Daniel chose, in other words, there was a special Gzerat HaKatuv at that time telling him, Daniel, not to join in with Hananiah, etc. But one would learn from this Medrash that there was an obligation to sacrifice for himself. ויעקב רבינו תם שתרץ תרץ תרץ אחר על קושיית התוספות מכל מוקרן אינו מוכרח שחולק על ריל הדינה דאין לברוח. So that, he says, is at first blush, that would be your conclusion. This is his style. He first gives the answer that he doesn't believe in, and then he says, but, here comes the but. Ibra, however, he says, Kadma Ayin Shapir, when you look into this matter thoroughly, Tiresh Shekol Zeh Eino, that this argument is invalid. But Vadai Hechte Efshar L'Kayim Shnehem, שלא לעבור על המצווה ולקיים בחי, והם מבואה בסוגיה ושעס בכמה דוכתי דדעדיה. It's much better to escape and to live. והחינם אי אפשר לקיים שניהם, שלא לעבור על המצווה ולקיים בחי בהם.
כאירו כמסאי. וכלי מצינו ברבי שמעון בן יוחאי, רבי אליעזר בשבת, דף ל"ג שברכו והטמינו בים מערב. Remember, I didn't leave that cave for all those years. וכלי אמרינו ברבי מציע שברך רבא בעבור אגב שבדא, מסינו זקנין את פרנן כליתו במדרש, ויברך משה, ויברך יעקב, ויברך דוד. There are all kinds of people who saved their lives by escaping at the appropriate time. וכן אמרינן יתרו שברך זכו בנבחור. וכן בסנהדרין לפידר רבי יהודה בן אבא שנאמר להם בנו רוצו יהיון שם. So therefore we see that there is ample precedence for escaping from danger. וכדי לתרץ דעת ראי, and in order to understand this contrary opinion that we brought before, בלב הכי צריכים אנו לפרש דבריו, דלפי פירושו מה קל וחומר הוא זה שדשני צפרדים שגזר עליהם על פי גזירת השם שיבואו באש. What kind of logic can they draw from the frogs? After all, God commanded that they all go into the ovens. There was no commandment, a direct commandment on Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that they go into an oven. The only commandment was that they not bow down to an idol, but not that they go into an oven. So how can they draw any conclusions whatsoever? Ma she'ein ken Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah shelo nitzavu al kach, kevin she'efshar lehem lebroch. So how can Ela tzarich lomar? Of course, this is certainly not what the Ri meant. The Svirle Ri, Shigam Hananya Mishael Ve'Azaryo Nitztavu Al Kach, Kedisha V'Sota, that they were under specific command to put themselves in the furnace. Sheyatzda Batkol, because there was a Batkol that came out and said, Ata Hitzalta Tamar Ushnei Vaneha Min Ha'ur, Chayecha She'ani Matzil Shlosha Vaneha Min Ha'ur. Umayinin Hu Hananya Mishael Ve'Azaryo. That they had a bat kol that said that indeed they would be saved from this burning furnace. Lakach lo barchu liyamalet al nafsham, ve'ein lemeidim mehem lemakom acher. The vaday gadol hatzalat nafashot im yicholim lebroach. So you can see that this is an entirely different attitude than from one of the preceding shemtzes. But now again, he has to contend with the tradition. אבל מכל מקום, אם רוצה להחמיר על עצמו ולמסור נפשו לקדש השם ברבים שממנו ילמדו אחרים לאחור, so זכור לטוב. ובוודאי לא מקרה מייבד עצמו לדעת. וכדאית וכמה דבר עזור, דף יוחד כבר רבי חנן בן תרדיון, אין שם עצור. In other words, he's saying that basically the law should be that you should try to escape. But you can't condemn someone as being a suicide if... he decides to stay and martyr himself. So I think one can see that there's been an enormous change in attitude between what we were learning a couple of weeks ago and what we see in the Shavuos Yaakov.
Chanina ben Tradion, that's our sorrow of Baruch Imams. He didn't have a choice, according to the way we read it.
I don't know. Okay, now let's read another Shavuos of Shavuos Yaakov. This is not directly connected to the main theme that we've been studying so far, but since Rav Kook is going to quote it in the Tshuva, we might as well see this Tshuva in detail. It's a famous Tshuva. Me'ofei mumche. There was the problem came from a medical doctor. Al chole achad shechalai chol yosha karov lamut bo. There was a patient who was terminally ill. V'chol ha'rofim omdim shevadai yomut mitok yom o yomayim. And all the doctors agree that he will die in a day or two. Ach she'omdim sheyesh od rufua achat she'efshar she'yechrape mitchol yom, v'gam efshar lehefech she'mikach rufua zu im eino tatzliach chas v'shalom yomut miyad tok sha'ar sha'tan. Im utar la'asot rufua zu o chashinon l'chaye sha'ar v'sheval ta'aseh od. Is it better not to take any action, or should you take a risk which will undergo this operation, which may kill you instantly, but has a chance of salvaging the illness, which all the doctors agree are terminal? Okay, right. Not uncommon problem.
We had something like this before.
Well, we probably learned this tshuva before. Tshuva. Ho'il shedin zeh u'dinei nefashot mamash, וצריך להיות מתון מאוד בשאלה כזו, משחץ ופוסקים בשבע חקירות ובדיקות. כי כל המעבד נפש אחת מישראל וכולי, וכן להפך המקיים נפש אחת כאילו קיים עולם מלא. ולכל רוב היה נראה, דשי ועל תעשה עדיף. the first, remember, this is his style. He always gives you the opinion that he's not going to follow first. He says, at first blush, you would think that the best act, the best procedure is one of inaction. Because after all, even this day or two, even this temporary life, is considered valuable. Afil mishik bahu goseis mamash, even if a person who's in the death throes, kriita biavel rabatifer kamad the mehai timer ain koshrin et lochayav. You're not allowed to start funerary procedures from a person who's in the last throes of death, because ain koshrin et lochayav ain pokukin v'chulu ain shom tim et akal mitachtav v'pnei shemakarev et mutato. The Katava Rambam Perkei Mechot Avel, the Hamametz Im Yitziyat HaNefesh, someone who closes the sick man's eyes before he's breathed his last breath, HaRezeh Shofech Davim. V'chein Muskam Mikol HaPoskim U'Kimuvua V'Yordea V'Shulchan Aruch Simen Shin Lamates. U'Fachahai Gava Kaimu Lande Mutal HaLel Shabbat Mishum Chayei Sha'a Kasher Rahti. Al Zeh B'Tshuvati Shvut Yaakov Chelik Rishon V'Simen Yudgimul Yimushan. So he says that you would think that since one is allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat to save temporary life, to keep a man going only for a few hours or days, then you should not be able to do anything which will cause that temporary life to come to an end. Ibra, however, he says, this is where he now comes to his true opinion, however, Kasher Yoradati El Ha'iyun, when I looked into this matter more deeply, nered shapir dami, the vaday hecha the yesh chash shemakarev mitato, v'lo oseken kedei l'rapei oto l'gamri, ze vaday havi kishofech damim, v'chashinan l'chayei shah kemavua v'shastu poskim kanal. Baram, im echshar shal yidei rufua zu shenotein lo yitrapei l'gamri mikol yom, vaday lo chashinan l'chayei shah. וראיה ברורה לחילוק זה מסוגיה דשס פרק אין מעמידים דף קופסאין המדבייס אמר רב חיסטה אמר רב יוחנן מספק חי ספק מיד אין מטרפין כיוש משיב משום דוודאי קטיר ומוטב שיניח אולי יחיה ודאי מיד מטרפין מהם כיוש רשי דמי עובד לה הלא בלב הכי ימות בשם יפענו הנחרי עד כאן ומחשה השס ואיקה חיי שעה ונאנסוס לחיי שעה לא חיישינה וכתב את זה שם וזה לשנו והודי אמינן ביומה מפתקן אליו את הגל אמו חשינן לחיי שעה דאיקה למימה דחוכה והותם עבדינן לטובתו. In both cases you're doing what's best for the patient. דהתם אם לא תחוש ימות, there if you're not מחלל שבת he will die, והוכה אם תחוש ולא יתרפא מהם ודאי ימות, וכאן שבקינן הוודאי למעבד הספק. Here you let go of the certainly terminally certainty of death for taking this risk. וכן כתב בהדיה בספר תורת האדם להרמב"ן, דף י"ד מעלדיין שם, וזה לשנו לחיי שעה לא חיישינן פרש לספקא דחיי שעה מכמה דאפשר דחי טובה לא חיישינן עד כמה שנה. וכל זה הוא הסכמת הפוסקים כדאית ברמב"ם פרק ב' בנוכחות רוצח ובתור יהודי סימן קנ"ה. אם כן, גם כן בנידון זה, כיוון שוודאי ימות מניחים הוודאי ותופסין הספק. אולי יתרפא. אוקיי? So this is a clear-cut decision that you're allowed to have active intervention. In other words, the old criterion of don't do anything, let God take care of the matters, he says, you are allowed to actively intervene for the benefit of the patient, even though there is a risk that you may actually kill the patient. This medical procedure is allowable under those circumstances.
When he says like that,
it's right paper. What? When it becomes mandatory, of course.
It's right paper, it's government. Let's say you only just prolonged it for a week, but it's not going to cure. So, would he still have that choice?
He's going to die in 2 days, and now you're going to maybe kill him right away, or he'll live for another 4 days?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, if you take that problem to the extreme, this won't apply, right? You're not going to undertake
so far. Because he put him legamra, that's why. I mean, it's rape legamra.
No one lives forever.
Well, what they call cure help, I mean, obviously it'd be maybe a year or so. I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks is not...
So you can, all that you're saying is that there will be situations in which you can't make a judgment. But the principle of this judgment is clear cut, that one is allowed, one is not obliged to say that inaction is the best policy under all circumstances, that one is allowed to take active intervention associated with risks if it's for the benefit of the patient. Now, if you're going to tell me, obviously, that the patient is going to die no matter what, there are certainly certain operations which I guess are performed nowadays by doctors which are not for the benefit of the patient, even though they prolong life, right? There may be certain types of procedures, well, you correct me if I'm wrong, that hospitals undertake because they want to avoid prosecution or anything else, which are the are in effect doing what maybe keep the patient alive, as you say, for a few days longer without returning any quality of life or any indefinite prolongation of life, and are harmful to the patient rather than beneficial. That's not what's being talked about here.
These decisions have to be made all the time.
These decisions have to be made all the time. And what he is saying, and what is innovative in this decision, and we have to come back to it at a more abstract level, is that the old criterion of not doing anything and letting nature take its course as being the only thing to do is suspended.
Okay.
All right. Nevertheless, having rendered this very important decision, which is the basis for all the later decisions on this subject, this is the original tshuva, Ein la'asota ofei kipshuto kein, you can't just simply rely on the opinion of a single doctor. Rak tzarich liyot matun ma'od b'davar, l'fakeach im rofim mumchin shebe'ir al pirov deyot, one should have a consultation with the best doctors in the city before making that kind of decision. Tahanu ruba de minka shul kefa. They should at least have a 2-to-1 decision on the basis of all consulting physicians before taking such an active intervention. Shafi yesh lachush lekaleida, because you have to worry about physicians who may not take their responsibilities too seriously. Al Kenya sel kol al pia, I guess it should say rov deyot. Okay. This is an excellent tshuva, and one which is
very modern.
All right. The next tshuva which I brought, which is from Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, essentially sustains this position, written at the beginning of the 19th century. I'll skip it because it's a bit long. Let's pass to the tshuva of David Hoffman, which is on the next page, also on this same issue. אי חיוב על הרופא לעשות חיתוך לרפואה אופרטיון. גם אם אבות של התינוק החולה לא יוצאו בכך. Suppose the parents of the child don't approve of this operation. This is over here, this short one. Okay. וזאת השאלה נחלקת. א', אם הרופא חושב שהאופרטיון מביא הרפואה, ב', אם גם ליבו מגמגם שתפעול הרפטיון פעולה טובה. Almunam below operation bevada yamut. Okay, so that's the problem. Tshuva. Hine ish shari lichot safek chaye shara mepnei safek chaye olam. Kvar pasak v'shelot u'tshuvot shvut Yaakov chelakim ul simenayin. Hei b'chole echad sharofim omgru shebevada yamut toch yom u'yomayim. Ach yesh od rufu achat sheafshar shirofei michol yom v'gan asher lehefach shem lo tatzli achat v'shachatz v'shalom yamut miyad. U'pasak sham demutar lasot rufu azu. After Pshita, the Asul Karev Mitat Yisrael, or Kolam Karev Hamita, Filo Rega Hareza Shofech Tamim, Mikomakom in Efshar Shal Yede Rufu Azu Yitrafe Lagamri, Lo Chashin and Lachayesha. Bevi Rayot Brurot.
Excuse me, Rabbi, that's what's confusing. He's setting up a condition. Shal Yede Rufu Azu Yisrafe Lagamri, Lo Chashin and Lachayesha.
Right.
What does that mean, the Yisrafe?
They'll be cured from this illness. I repeat, your question is a valid question. I mean, suppose with this operation he'll live for 2 years, and without the operation he will die in 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll still go ahead with the operation.
They call it a fool of Galagamra. I mean,
yeah, so, but you're always going to find some situation where you're not going to, where this criterion will no longer be clear.
Yeah.
Okay. ובפרט בסוגי דבר הזאת החזיין המדבס. ומעסיק על כל פנים אין לעשות כן הרופא כפשוטו, אלא יש לו יתייעץ עם רופאים מומחים שבעיר ויעשו על פי רוב דעות. The attending physician should not rely on his own judgment, but call in other experts and only proceed when there is a majority opinion. Dahani ruba da min kav shehu kefa. Ba'ayin ma shehu rab simen ochot chayim simen shavchem 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 im kemkein vavadai data aviv ve'imo lo ma'aleh v'lo morid. That if it's obligatory, then the opinion of non-experts, even if they're close relatives, should be irrelevant. De'ita b'yorodeis im shonarav v'yesh chiyuv ala rofei lo apot v'imoneh atzma ho'eze shofech tonim v'lo matzinu b'chol ha'tora kula sh'yesh la'av v'eim ushut l'sakein nefesh yeldehem v'limno rufu'o m'herofei m'lo apotam. Zeu adin Torah. The dini de malchuta, eini yodea biofenze. I don't know what German law has to say on this matter, but as far as Jewish law is concerned, what you have to do is take the best medical advice and proceed accordingly. Okay.
It really knocks against the, not the ethical culture, or the group that...
Christian Science.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the parents make decision, the kid dies. And,
yeah. I brought this next tshuva simply as it's really out of context, but it opens the door for some other discussions that we won't go into here, but because of its relevance to current issues. I don't pretend that this is a thorough discussion of this topic, but it's not what I'm really after. But since we've come this far in this direction, I'll go one step further off the road before coming back to what our main issues are. This is from the Marsha, so this is from Mordechai Shvadron, living at the beginning of the 19th century, the end of the 18th century. Mechtavo higiyani, v'al dvar she'elato v'ma she'irevo nachnechem kama mikrim v'anashim rameh ha'ma'ala, asher v'chdei v'ipater mitzar v'yisurim v'oni v'vizayon, ibdu et atzvon l'da'af v'chmanu v'tzlam. Im dinam l'chol davar k'metu al mitatam v'ein monim mehen k'chol davar. Can you bury a person, for example, who committed suicide because of intense pain and suffering? He adds a couple of other things that we wouldn't include, such as poverty and shame. So he's taking this issue a little bit further than even, I would imagine, the most liberal positions today would. V'hinei kvar harich b'zeh v'shelot v'tshuvot b'et Ephraim v'hevi b'dereh v'samim rov sh'hevi rov ansom g'mihir v'harayom v'gitin v'chakin v'zakin v'yishav v'shev v'baneh sh'hevi rov ansom v'al mikam v'mokamot v'hi v'shem ha'rambam sh'katov k'divrei ha'shach v'n shor v'shor v'shor d'ashol yada m'pi ha'navi sh'yargu v'osit b'yur d'hi b'shvil chayei sh'a al zeh samach l'inatzel me'y yusurim d'vaday yitzaru ha'flishtim. ובזה ביאל יישוב כשירו מהם ההדחה הישר, מהדחי כשירו מנסה מאוד וצפר, וכל מה שמידי של צפר. ועל כל פנים, יסיין, לדינה כיוונו המעלתו, ואם עשה כן מפני ייסורים וכדומה, if a person committed suicide because of intense pain, אינו בכלל מעבד על עצמו לדעה. כמו שכתבתי, וגם בשאלות שובה פרשת מרדכה, חרפידור, אצל הילה כן, דנהידה אסור על פי דין, מכל מקום, מחשב כאומר מותר, even though it's not permitted according to law to commit suicide for these purposes. Nevertheless, a person who does so is considered as אומר מותר. דלב כולי על מדיני גמירי ושוגג לו העין שם. ובזה נסתר מה שכתב החתם סופר, יהודה סימן שנקפה באמצע תשובה ראים אומר, ובכן ותרגם וזאת דף י"ח, ודאי לא רצה לעשות כן, ומכל מקום איננו בכלל מאבד עצמו לדעת את האמנה. ומה שכתב ראות מערתו והיום מאחיתופל, שלא נמנע בכלל אין לו חלק בעולם הבא, אלא בשביל מוריד במלכות, ולא בשביל שחנך את עצמו, לא קשה מידי, וכיוון שהיום מוריד במלכות וחייב מיתה, ידוע שימיתה הוא דוד, he knew that he was subject to capital punishment anyway, so therefore his act of suicide may not have been considered actual suicide. ולולם יזו מביא בישב רבה נועף על צטו כי יש שישי לרד, הרי כיוון שחשבו הוא למורה במלכות, דינה למעב דינו כמת ושתו מותרת וכולי. רק לא קיימו להם כן, כך לא ככה בשעת וגיב נשעת ודעב לצטו ומה צטו. בכל מקום, על כל פנים, לא היה כמה מיד עצמו לדעת מטעם זה. ואם איתם חיי שעה, כבר כתבתי בשם הרמב"ן, בשם חיי שעה, הרי מותם משום צער ויוסרים לאבד את עצמו. That's a thoroughly amazing statement. Where the Rambam says this, I don't know, but he's now making a thoroughly amazing statement. ומשום חיי שעה היה מותר משום צער ויסורים לעבד את עצמו. That in a case of a terminally ill patient who's in intense pain and suffering, suicide is permissible. ועל כל פנים יש לו לומר דהבי כאומר מותר. I'm not sustaining this position. I'm just simply pointing out that you have a statement on this issue. Maybe we should investigate it in some future shiur at greater length. But I'm just simply pointing out there is this unusual statement taken by Rav Sham, who claims that in the case of a person who's terminally ill, who's only going to live for a few more days or hours or what have you, then suicide for avoidance of intense pain and suffering, he says, is permissible. I don't believe it, but that's what he said.
Ani chashiv kemes. We just read that a couple weeks ago in the parsha.
Mm-hmm.
Rashi does.
Yes.
So was maybe that's why he included Ani amongst the...
I don't know.
Already dead.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, now the rest of the shiur, how much time do we have left? What time is it now?
Ten to nine. Practically speaking, the implication is that the Maharal Sham would instruct in his community that the person be buried in a normal...
That the Chevra Kadisha tend to this many. Oh, yes. But here he's postulating clearly that in all such cases, he's going far beyond anything. I don't know how the Maharal Sham would find the suicide, which then is legitimately a suicide. I mean, any person who commits suicide is presumably doing so because he's depressed, or there may be rare occasions that a person commits suicide so that his wife can collect the insurance, but I don't think that that's the typical suicide case. The typical suicide case is because of depression, or fear of pain, or embarrassment, or shame, or poverty, or big loss on the stock market, or any of these things. And according to the Maharal Sham, all of those would be extenuating circumstances. So one would get the impression that with this psak, the Maharal Sham would find it hard to find the suicide in this community that he would not bury. But of course, that's not really my major concern. Whether you're going to bury this person, give him a decent Jewish burial and treatment with Chevra Kadisha or not, that's an interesting technical problem. But what's much more a central issue is this notion that so far all that we saw was this psak of the Shmos Yaakov the Chayeshah can be put at risk in order to for a possibility of a long-term cure. Here he's saying something completely different, that the Chayesha can be considered as a possibility of ending, keep committing suicide when you're in a situation of being terminally ill to avoid extensive pain. So certainly, if I'm reading him correctly, and I'm very hesitant on this because I don't know of any corroborating evidence at the moment, I'll look into it if you like, for a future shiur, but I'm not prepared to discuss this seriously now. The impression would be that this form of drip morphine that was popular in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago would meet with the Maharal Sham's approval, as it does with Catholic bishops, I believe. That was their vote, wasn't it, last week?
So just leave the patient in comfort, not to...
No, the drip morphine treatment is not just leaving the patient in comfort. You're giving him enough morphine to interfere with his normal bodily function, so he dies within a week. Isn't that more or less what the procedure is?
You set it up and walk out of the room.
You set it up and you walk out of the room. He doesn't die immediately, but it takes 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so let's now, the rest of this package that I've given you, of this long exchange of letters, three tshuvot, one very short one and two very long ones, of Rav Kook. And as Mr. Weinstein said, we've studied this several times in the past, so maybe what we will do is have a short summary of some of the key issues and only read one of the parts in detail. The issue that's being raised here is, can a person voluntarily sacrifice himself to save others? Is altruism permissible? Up until now we were studying the issue of whether martyrdom is permissible. Now the issue is whether altruism is permissible. Okay. Okay. So let's start with the second tshuva, which is on the second. Just turn the page. This is a very long tshuva. Okay. Gam b'schochom b'zichroni hunach shemuvtek hazeh that a person, is allowed to put himself at risk, ratzui, for the saving of others, ratzui lehimatzei b'amar kiddush Hashem shuzkir kvototo b'gerot teiman. Remember, he was writing all of this, Rav Kook was, when he was in Switzerland. He was trapped in Europe, if you remember, by the First World War. He had left Eretz Yisrael to come to Europe on some fundraising or other activities, and then World War I broke out, and he wasn't able to get back. So these were all written from, from St. Gallen, right? From Switzerland. Yeah. At any event. So he first says that whatever statement that the Rambam may make, that a person is allowed to put himself at risk in order to save others, the word risk that was intended there is not really serious danger. It means that a person can undergo a certain amount of danger, because after all, people undertake dangerous activities even for their ordinary livelihood. So that therefore, the principle of normally you have a principle of chamira sakanta mi'isura, and you should avoid taking any kind of even a far-fetched risk when there was a matter of life or death is concerned. But those types of risks which are not which should not be